Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is your brother Hussein Kamani. If you enjoyed listening to our podcast, please donate to Qalam by visiting supportqalam.com. We love being able to share this content for free, and your donation ensures we are always able to do so. Each podcast we produce has thousands of listeners, so the opportunity for gaining immense reward by supporting our efforts is endless. You never know who will be able to benefit from your donation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept, and jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأزكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا إما يبلغن عندك الكبر أحدهما أو كلاهما فلا تقل لهما أف ولا تنهرهما وقل لهما قولا كريما واخفض لهما جناح الذل من الرحمة وقل رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا صدق الله العظيم. When you read a book or watch something on TV that relates to the subject of love, the most beautiful stories are those that end somehow with the two individuals who love one another realizing how much the other person actually loves them, and then they decide to reciprocate that love and contribute back to. One person loves another person, one sibling loves a sibling, one friend cares for another friend, a parent cares for their child, a husband cares for his wife, whatever the story is based around. When one person tries so hard to win the love of the other person, and that other person at some point appreciates and understands how hard that other person is going out of their way to make them happy, how hard that other person is going out of their way to gain their attention, to be beloved to them, this ends as a very nice story. The most tragic ones are those that where one person is trying so hard to win the love of the other person, and on the other hand, that individual never appreciates how much that person cared for them. These are the sad stories. We look at these stories, we read them, sometimes as we finish off reading our text and we see how it ends, our heart becomes very soft and we start crying because it doesn't feel good. But unfortunately, many of us are victims of the same second narrative. There are people around us who care so much for us, who love us so much. Their love is so genuine, it's so real. There are few people you will meet in your life who will be able to love you that much, who will never have an ill thought about you. Every morning when they wake up, they'll pray for you. Every night before they go to sleep, they'll pray for you. If they're struggling as individuals, to stand up in tahajjud and pray salah, they just have to think of you and they'll wake up and pray tahajjud. If they're struggling with giving sadaqah, all they have to do is think of you and now they can give sadaqah. If they're struggling with going to the masjid, they can think of you and know that if they go to Allah and raise their hands in front of Allah at the masjid for your sake, that'll motivate them, that'll encourage them to do this for you. Most other people in the world, their love will only be very superficial. They'll love you temporarily. They'll love you for a period. You cross them, you get an argument with them, you abuse them in any way at all, they will say divorce, 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 and they will walk away. They will annul that contract and say, we are no longer in business together. They will make it very clear, you and I are no longer friends. You said a mean thing to me. You didn't play with me on the playground. You ignored me. Why didn't you share your sandwich with me? On the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with parents who love us so dearly that no matter how harsh and rough we are with them, their love continues. I want you to examine all of the relationships and friendships you have in your life and ask yourself, if you were to be the way you are with your parents to anyone else in the world, would they even continue to spend another day with you? if you ignored them, if you weren't kind to them, if you lied to them, if you weren't considerate of them, if you were harsh to them, if you abandoned them. These very same parents who dedicate their life even before the birth of the child to the child. You know, when you're getting married, people are thinking, you know, that I want to marry someone who can be a good mother to my child. I want to marry someone who could be a good father to my child. The mother and father's love for their child comes into existence long before even they conceive the child. And then when they begin to expect the child every day, the mother now begins to look after herself. She begins to eat certain foods that generally she wouldn't care to eat because now she's looking after her child that is in her, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in her. The difficulty and pain a mother goes through during the 9 months of pregnancy is unbelievable. Vomiting, back pain, headaches, not being able to sleep properly. Usually when someone puts you through so much difficulty, you only have one choice, and that is to resent that person, to hate that person, to be angry at that person. That you put me through so much difficulty for a period of my life, why should I love you? But yet when that child is born, even the birth process is very difficult. After the child is born, that mother holds the child and kisses the child on the forehead. That mother embraces the child to her heart. And she begins to cry, thinking that all of the du'as that she made in her life until this point have been accepted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed her with a child. And this love doesn't diminish. It doesn't decrease. It only increases, and it grows and grows and grows. And unfortunately, that mother and father continue to offer their love, but many of us never appreciate what they're offering to us. We don't understand what's going on here. We take it for granted. Those people that wake us up every morning, those people that feed us every day, the people who pay for the lights in the home and pay for air conditioning at our home, pay for a bed that we sleep on, we act like that's nothing. It's not a big deal. But if you don't understand how great of a deal it actually is, go across to the world and look at children who don't have this. Whose parents died in a bomb attack. Whose parents were shot. Whose parents became sick and they died. One day they had their mother and father tucking them into their bed. The next morning they woke up and they've been told that your mom and dad no longer live. That child feels lonely. They feel isolated. They're not sure who's going to hug them anymore. Who's going to take care of them anymore. And that loneliness continues to be with them right until their adulthood, and even the day they pass away, they crave for the moment, only one more moment for their mother to come and give them a hug, for their father to come and kiss them on the forehead. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost his mother when he was 6 years old. Our Prophet was born without his father being alive. When he was 6 years old, I want you to think of a six-year-old kid. He's holding his mother's hand and she's passing away. Imagine the tears coming out of his eyes. Imagine his life wrapping up in front of him. Imagine the loneliness this young man is feeling. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined for him to conquer the world and take an Islam that will reach Carrollton, Texas one day. And he's seeing his life crumbling in front of him because his mother is not going to be there for that journey. His father won't be there to embrace him the day that he has victory over Makkah Mukarramah. The day that he enters into Makkah Mukarramah, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. His father won't be there that day. His mother won't be there that day. And yet, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, at the age of 6, he somehow goes through this difficulty. And honestly, I don't know how he went through it. I really don't know. How did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how patient was he? How did he deal with this big calamity? A few years back, my own mother, rahimahullah, passed away. And when my mother passed away, I struggled a lot. I struggled so much. I remember sitting at her grave and feeling as if someone reached inside my chest and ripped my heart out. And I started asking myself that how would I continue to live without getting her phone, without her calling me? Because the only person in the world that would call me, and every time I answered the phone, the first thing she would ask is, "What did you have to eat today?" That was the only person in the world that asked me this question. Every time she asked me this, "What did you eat today? You know, did you enjoy yourself? Did you have good sleep last night?" She asked the most basic questions that she had been asking me since I was 6 years old. When I came back from school, she would ask me, "What did you eat today? Did you eat your lunch today?" She asked me that question when I was 6 years old and continued to ask me that question until the day she died. And when she passed away, rahimahullah, I sat at her grave and my heart was in so much pain. I felt numb. And I remember at that moment, I began to reflect over a six-year-old prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was also sitting at his mother's grave. And I told myself that if he could pull through it, so could I. the journey would be difficult. It wouldn't be easy. Because moving on, it's very difficult to find, impossible to find someone that can replace the place of your mother, that can replace the maqam and the status of your father. These are things that can never be replaced again. Unfortunately, we live in a time where so much love is done to us, yet when it comes for us to pay that love back, we walk away. We say we're busy. We say we have things to do. We say that we're busy with college. We make up silly excuses like my work is occupying. We make up silly excuses like I don't have time. Unfortunately, I'm telling you, there was a mother and father who came and said this to me, that one day, you know, our son came to us and he said to us that mom and dad, things are getting a little tight around the home. We're getting a little restricted for space at home, so I'll be relocating you. Mom and dad had no idea what was going on. He packed their bags, loaded them into the car, drove his mom and dad to an adult care facility. His mom and dad, when they arrived there, their hearts were shaking. The mother was crying when she said this word to me. She said, my heart was hurting. And my son asked me, mom, was everything okay? Will you be okay here? She said, everything wasn't okay. My heart was hurting. I was in so much pain. But I didn't want my son to feel humiliated in front of me, so I said to him, no, my son, I'm really happy. If you're happy, I'm happy. He dropped them off inside. He settled their stuff down. When he was leaving, when he closed the door, the mother said to me, I reached over and hugged my husband, and we sat there hugging each other, crying, asking ourselves, what did we do wrong in life that today our child walked away from us? They felt so lonely. They felt abandoned. And I remember this mother telling me that I would never do this to my child. I don't care how crowded the house got, my child was never going to leave my home. I was never going to go to sleep without feeding my child. I would never wake up in the morning without ironing my child's clothes first. I don't care if I got to work late, he wouldn't be late to school though. That wasn't possible. She wouldn't be late to school though. That wasn't possible. Unfortunately, we've lost loyalty in our community. People seem that there is more of an importance of being loyal to your friends who've been a part of your life at the prime years of your life. Years where you already had gained your strength. Years in your life where you already had gained your intellect. Years in your life where you had gained your abilities. 2-3 years in your life, someone enters and they teach you how to play basketball and they entertain you for 5 or 6 months or maybe a few years, and now they become the most important people. And we seem to neglect those people who are by our side at a time where no one cared to look after us. No one cared to sleep next to us. We urinated on them, they smiled at us. We soiled our clothes, they were honored and excited about cleaning after us. Today I understand that many of us may have conflicts with our parents. We may be at crossroads because as we grow, our egos also grow. And sometimes, you know, when egos clash, you have division, you have fallouts. But never forget the ihsan of your parents, the kindness of your parents to you. Never ever let that pass by. You know, the Urdu poet said, "Ye aisa qarz hai jisko main ada kar nahi sakta, main jab tak ghar na lautu meri maa sajde mein rehti hai." That this is such a debt that I can never pay back. This is such a debt in my life that I owe that I can never pay back. And what is the debt? Why do I owe? "Main jab tak ghar na lautu meri maa sajde mein rehti hai." That until I don't return home, my mother remains in sajda making dua for me. She makes dua that I'm doing good. She makes dua that I'm taken care of. She makes dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting me. He's taking care of me. That sense of loyalty is gone. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, he wrote a book called Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Many of us, unfortunately, only know of one book of Imam Bukhari, the Sahih of Imam Bukhari. But Imam Bukhari authored many books. One of his books that he wrote is called Al-Adab al-Mufrad. And in this book, he focuses on the character of the believer. The reason why he focuses on the character of the believer is because as Muslims, we understand that becoming a good Muslim is not only about how much dhikr you do, how much Quran you read. It has a lot to do with your character as well. What kind of human being you are. If you decide to be a believer, in order for you to be a believer, you have to first be an insan. You have to be a human being first. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, he starts off this beautiful book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, with the chapters relating to birr al-walidain, kindness to one's parents. And then in this book that's roughly 300 and some pages, he dedicates 30 pages, probably the longest chapter in the whole book. He dedicates 30 pages just to do with parents. And it's as if Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, through this act of his, through this writing style of his, is making a gesture, making an indication to every single one of us. And what's that message he's trying to convey? That if you can say hi, hello, smile, say thank you, open the door for everyone in the world, but you can't do it for your parents, you're doing something wrong. We have good character, alhamdulillah. Every person here has the ability to be kind, and we enjoy being good. If I were to ask your colleagues, what kind of person is Fulan? They would say he's an amazing person. He always shares what he has, he's very kind, very patient, always going out of his way to help other people. That same person, you go to their parents and ask them, tell me about your child, and the mother knows she's lying and she says, best son in the world. She knows that's not true. She knows the son has put her to sleep crying many nights. But yet this person, this mother, look at her love, she will say, best son in the world. You want to earn your Jannah? Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, in his Al-Adab al-Mufrad, he narrates a hadith, رِضَ الرَّبْ فِي رَضَ الْوَالِدْ وَسَخَطَ الرَّبْ فِي سَخَطِ الْوَالِدْ. That you want to earn your Jannah, go and please your father, go and please your parents. You please them, Allah will be happy with you. When Allah is happy with you, Jannah is guaranteed for you. And if you displease your parents, you've displeased your Lord. As for this whole issue of conflict, that you have one opinion, your father has another opinion, you hold one opinion, your mother has another opinion, you're at conflict with one another, then understand that we have an example of how to deal with conflict even during the time of the companions of the Prophet. You can have another opinion. You can be firm on your position if you believe something to be correct. But always consider that maybe your parents are right. Think about that. When someone comes to me and says, I want to marry a girl, and my father is saying, or my mother is saying not to marry this girl, what should my response be? I tell them, honestly speaking, you should be considerate of what your parents are doing. I'm not saying abandon that person, but you should be considerate. Don't you think your parents have that much of a right on you? Don't they have that much of a right that they can at least voice and say that for X, Y, and Z reason, this may be a good person for you to consider for your marriage? Or is it the case that once we turn 14 years old, we act like they don't exist anymore? Their example becomes like that of a garbage can. It's necessary, but outside of the home, not inside of the home. Because you get too close to it, and it starts smelling, and it's rotten from within. Unfortunately, this is the image that many of us have for our parents. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Look at the example of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. The hadith is in Sahih Muslim. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu is one day at home. He lived with his mother. Him and his mother were in conversation. His mother began to use foul language towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His mother was not a Muslim at this time. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, on the other hand, was a Muslim, a great companion. His mother started using foul language towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu do? When someone says something to you, like a parent, that is not correct, that's not nice, that's not good, do you start arguing with them? Do you shout at them? Do you raise your voice? Unfortunately, in some cases, do you push your parents back? Do you start punching them and beating them? Is this what we do? Or should you remain patient and accept that at this moment in their life, they're gotten a little older, and maybe the way they communicate isn't as fine as a method that they used to communicate when they were younger? You know, if your father or your mother is an abusive individual and they have a vulgar tongue, you would rather them being vulgar with you than being vulgar with anyone else in the world. Because if they're vulgar with anyone else in the world, that person will seek justice, and that may lead your parents to being in a very compromised position. But at the end of the day, if my father uses rough language with me, that's an honor. I'm getting Jannah in return, I can be patient, I can gain the pleasure of Allah, and ultimately no one can raise a finger on my father. If he were to say those very same words to the person next to me, that person may reach over and try to punch my father. He may say something back to my father. At least by him being aggressive with me, I have the opportunity to be patient. I don't have to tell anyone. I can control the smear campaign that could potentially exist if my father said this to another person. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, look at him. His mother says something foul to Rasulullah. How much do you think that must have irritated him? How much do you think that must have frustrated him? And when he hears his mother saying this, he becomes quiet, he leaves the room. He comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he's crying, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, what happened? He says, Ya Rasulullah, I was at home and my mother said some very foul things about you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calmed him down. And then he said, Abu Hurairah said to Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, can you make dua that Allah will guide my mother? He's just come out of a bitter moment. His mother has just pushed him to his limits. And yet, even now, his heart begs for good for his mother. He has this moment of sitting in front of Rasulullah. He's still in tears because of the words from his mother's mouth. And he's saying to Rasulullah, can you please make dua that, you know, Allah guides my mother. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his hands and he made dua to Allah. Oh Allah, guide the mother of Abu Hurairah. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu leaves the gathering. He's coming back home. And when he's coming back home, he notices the door is a little open. He's about to enter, and his mother hears his footsteps. She's inside the house. She hears him standing outside, walking in. She says to him, stay right there. Don't come inside the house. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says, I stood outside the house, and I tried to listen to what was going on inside. And I noticed that there was some water dripping, so therefore my mother was telling me not to go inside the house because she was finishing taking her shower. So he said, I waited outside. My mother, she dried herself up, put her garments on. When she came out, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu standing there, his mother just came to the door and she stands in front of him and she says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. He's lost for words. Didn't say one word to his mother. He turned around, started crying, went back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what happened, Abu Hurairah? He said, Ya Rasulullah, these are tears of joy. My mother became Muslim today because of your du'as. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I have one last request for you. Can you please make du'a to Allah that He makes me and my mother beloved to the ummah, to people? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then made this du'a. Oh Allah, make Abu Hurairah and his mother beloved to human beings, to people. This is why after they narrate this hadith, the scholars tell us that you should say, Ya Allah, I love Abu Hurairah. And I love the mother of Abu Hurairah because of this dua made by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You want to earn your jannah? You want to become a good Muslim? You can't do that if your parents are crying at home. When companion migrates, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, when you left your home and you came to Medina, were your parents happy or sad? He says, Ya Rasulullah, they were sad. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go back home, make them happy just as you make them cry. Bring a smile to their face. How can a child ever be happy? How can a child ever eat a morsel of food? How can a child go to sleep on their bed knowing that their mother and father are crying at home? That child has broken their heart. Where have we reached as human beings? This has little to do with Islam and a lot more to do with insaniyah, humanity. This is not something restricted to religion, to a religion. This is just general code of human beings. That we're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to care for one another. If I were to stand in front of you right now and start sharing narrations regarding honoring parents from the Quran and the Hadith, this lecture would never end. Because there's way too many of them. A companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umar ibn Khattab, the narration is found in Imam Hakim rahmatullahi alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu one day. And he says to him, that a man will come from Yemen, from the people of Qarn, by the name of Uwais. If you meet him, ask him to seek forgiveness on your behalf. Abu Hurairah, Umar radiallahu anhu was puzzled. Who is this guy from Yemen? Who is this guy from Qarn? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. During the Khilafah, 10-year period Khilafah of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, every year at Hajj he would announce, Afikum Ahlul Yemen, where are the people of Yemen? They would stand up. He would say, Afikum Ahlul Qarn, where are the people of Qarn? Everyone else would sit down, only the tribe of Qarn would stand up, the family of Qarn. He would then ask, Afikum Uwais, is Uwais here? One narration tells us that one day the people said to him, then why do you ask about this man Uwais? He's an insignificant person, nobody cares about him. He's not a big shot, he's not a big name in our community. Why do you ask about this guy all the time? Umar radiallahu anhu said, he may mean nothing to you, but he was very dear to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now keep in mind, Uwais never met the Prophet. He never met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One day Umar radiallahu anhu finally meets Uwais because he was in Medina Munawwara, in Makkah Mukarramah, sorry, and he met him. And when Umar radiallahu anhu met him, he embraced him and he said to him, make dua for me. Make dua that Allah forgives me. And here Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, this Uwais al-Qarni is standing there with tears in his eyes and he's humbled. Then why is Amir al-Mu'mineen, the highest position in the Muslims, coming to me and asking me to seek forgiveness on his behalf? Umar radiallahu anhu says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me so. And then Uwais al-Qarni says that this is because of my kindness to my mother. All of my friends were going from Yemen to Medina Munawwara to see the Prophet. but I never wanted my parents to be lonely. I didn't want my mother to feel abandoned. I didn't want her to feel isolated. So I stood by her side. And I sacrificed that great honor of seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is how this person gained his maqam. So what do we do with this? How do we build that love? It has to start with you cleaning your heart. It has to start with you accepting how much they've done for you. It doesn't matter what you've gone through. It doesn't matter, you know, how many arguments you have. Forget all of that. You have to wash your heart. Because trust me, if you die, they will be standing at your grave. If they die, you will be standing at their grave. It ends in one of two ways. There's no other way. When you go home today, kiss them on the forehead. Hug them. Press their feet. There was a young man who called me and said, "My Sheikh, my mother is dying. The doctors are saying she only has a little time left. Maybe a few hours. What can I do for my mother? Is there some dua that you recommend? Is there some animal I should sacrifice?" I said, "You could do all of that even after she passes away. If you have 3 hours left with your mother, supposedly, go and sit next to her and massage her feet. Because once she passes away, that opportunity will be gone. Go and sit next to her. While your mother is dying right now, even though she can't speak, she has a soul in her and she feels lonely. And there is no one that can bring more comfort to her right now as she's dying than you pressing her feet. She will know that she's accomplished everything in life. That today her child is next to her. Kiss her on the forehead if you could. Because that's what will bring pleasure to your mother's heart. You don't need to buy her any gift. You don't need to buy your father any gift. If they are alive, all you have to do is hug them and cry and say you're sorry. And kiss them on the forehead and tell them how much they mean to you. If you can do that one thing for them, they will be proud parents. They will tell the world how much their child loves them, because unfortunately, today's parents are very lonely. No one is there to take care of them. No one is there to look after them. And ultimately, we are questionable with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a matter of muruwa. This is a matter of akhlaq. This is an issue of just good conduct and good humanity. Every person in this gathering, if there's something you can take back home, it's that if you fail all relationships, but you've maintained the relationship with your mother and father, know that your gates of Jannah are waiting for you. But never let it happen that your mother and father feel abandoned. Take care of them. Financially provide for them. When you're eating food before you, feed yourself, put food in a plate, and serve it to them. Don't let them pick their plate up from the table. Pick their plate up for them. When they reach the shoe rack, don't make them bend down to pick their shoes up. If a child is there and the father has to bend down to pick his shoes up from the shoe rack and put it on the ground, that child has failed his father. That child should be the one who picks up the shoes and puts it down. How can a child sit in the car while the father is still walking to the car with bags in his hand? How can a child sit in the car while the mother is still walking towards the car? The child should open the door and stand there. The child should open the door for his father. He should pick up the shoes for his father. This is khidmah. Abu Hurairah, I'll close with this last narration. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu once saw two men conversing with one another. And he didn't like the way they were speaking to each other. So he called one of them and said, "Is that other guy related to you? You guys look kind of similar. Is there any relationship between the two of you?" So this person said, "Yes, he's my father actually." So Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said, "If he is your father, then let me teach you three etiquettes of interacting with your father. Number one," he said, "you will never call him by his name again. You will never address your father by his name, John. You won't say that. If your name is Yahya or whatever, Abba, whatever it is, you find a way to respectfully address him. You will never call him by his name again. Number two," he said to him, "you will never walk ahead of him. You will always walk behind him out of respect for your father. Number three," he said, "you will never sit down without your father sitting down first. It hurts my heart when I go to parties and gatherings and dinners, and young men and women go and run off with their friends, and mother and father have nowhere to sit. No one to bring them any food. No one to talk with. Imagine how that must feel." Win that heart. Do their khidmah. Earn their dua. Jannah is yours. You neglect them. They make a dua against you. Know that there is no barrier between the dua of the parent and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides our hearts, mends our hearts, allows us to be slaves and servants to our parents. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires the hearts of the parents to be kind to their children too. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad.